weeks, but we do have a praise and worship night and fellowship night on the 22nd, which is 2 weeks from today. So if you're interested, if you have something that you'd like to bring before us and God, whether it be a song, a testimony, scripture reading, whatever it may be, I have a sign up out there, or talk to me after service, and I'd love to get you pegged in for a spot, because as it sits right now, we just have two. So we need about 5 to 10. I think that'd be about perfect for that night. So if you can find it in yourselves to do that, that'd be fantastic. If not, expect some, you know, me to come around and tap you on the shoulder and ask you to sign up. So we'll see how it goes. Tonight, though, I want to talk to you guys about attitude, a bad attitude. I assume that many of us have had our bouts with a bad attitude from time to time, right? Maybe even some of us have had a bad attitude today. A couple of weeks ago, I'm not proud to say this, share this with you, but it happened. I was at work, and one of my guys brought up a sheet of paper that was being processed wrong. He said, hey, the tech said we're supposed to run it at this temperature, but this guy is running it at a different temperature. Now, mind you, this is a guy that I've been having troubles with for quite some time, and I just blurted out, well, that's because that guy's an idiot. Just like that. This guy who was showing me the paper walked up to me and said, Phil, no, he's not. He's not an idiot. He's learning. We're teaching him how to do these things the right way. And he was a brother in Christ. But I had an attitude towards this other guy for so long. And when I realized my attitude wasn't at him not knowing how to do it, it was me not training him how to do it. And so for me to act out like that, it was silly and foolish. But I'm glad that Ryan was there to say, hey, that's not how Jesus would want you to act. That's not how Jesus would want you to talk. That's not how Jesus would have handled this situation. He said, you need to change your attitude. And this is the guy who works for me telling me that. You know what I said? Not a dang thing. Because he was absolutely right. I had a terrible attitude towards this guy who perhaps I've given subpar training to. And since then, 2 weeks ago, my attitude has changed towards that. But all it took was that one time him calling me out and say, okay. That's all it took for me. Sadly, some of us will get in a funk and stay in a funk with an attitude. And no matter what somebody does, no matter what somebody says, no matter what circumstance God brings before us, we continue to stay disobedient and running from the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you have your Bibles, join me in the book of Jonah. We're going to be kind of snaking through the whole book, chapters 1 through 4. So we're going to hit on a little bit of everything. So I will be reading out of the New King James Version. So we'll start in Jonah chapter 1, and we'll just kind of snake our way through and see what Jonah's attitude is and how God responds towards it. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and paid the fare, and went down to it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I can imagine that some of us need help with our attitude. Some of us might need to change the way we think about people, the way we view people, instead of putting up a front and saying what we want the problem to be with them, Lord, that we tackle the problem head on, and that you might be able to help us out with that tonight through your word. Lord, I ask a blessing on this service. May we learn something from your word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Jonah had a problem. Jonah had an issue, and it didn't happen until God said, hey, I need you to do something for me. God said, hey, I have a plan that I need taken care of, and I want you to do that. See, this city of Nineveh, their wickedness has come up before me. Now I need you to go tell them that they're doing something wrong. Jonah gets a call from God, and he says, I don't want any part of it. And this is where his attitude begins. Disobedience and a bad attitude generally go hand in hand. And there's no exception for Jonah. However, the reason he got a bad attitude initially was a fair point. He said, God, if I'm to go to this place, do you know who you're telling me to go preach to? As if God didn't know. If you guys don't know, the Ninevites, the Assyrian Empire, was a very vile group of people. They were murderous. They were treacherous. They were torturous. In some accounts, there was when they would go to conquer a village or conquer an empire, a lot of the people who were in the village or in the empire would take their own lives before Nineveh, before the Assyrians would get to them. That's how brutal these people were. So Jonah was hiding behind this facade of, I don't want to go there because these people are terrible. I don't want to go there because these people could hurt me. I don't want to go there because this is a real threat to my life. I want to stop here for just a second and say this is the reason that he is giving God. The real reason comes out in chapter 4. But think about the times in your life when you get asked to do something that you don't want to do. Whether it's from God, from somebody at work, from your spouse, they come to you and say, hey, I need you to do this for me. How do you react? Do you cross your arms and get defensive? Do you leave and run away? We all react different to things that people are asking us to do. We can either obey them and do what they ask and have a positive attitude about it, or we can do what Jonah did and say, I don't want any part of it, and hightail out. What he's saying essentially to God is, I'm not doing what you want because I don't think these people deserve it. I'm not doing what you want me to do because I don't believe these people are good enough. And he runs away. And he hightails it out. Can you think of a time when God asked you or told you to do something with a person or a group of people and you thought to yourself, they're not worth it. Why would I waste my time with them? They don't have anything to do with me. They don't have anything in common with me. The life that they live, all the bad things that happen to them, they deserve it. Can you think of a person? Bad spot to be. This is right where Jonah was. Didn't want anything to do with it. In verses 4 through 9, you see, when we have an attitude, especially towards something that God is asking us to do, he has a way of sending an attitude adjustment. So verses 4 to 9 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. When the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, and had lain down, and was fast asleep. A storm that was designed to discipline Jonah, he was sleeping through it. A storm that was designed to change his mind, to fix his attitude, he was found at the bottom of the ship, sleeping like a baby. He didn't want anything to do with God. He was completely content with the attitude that he had towards the people that God was asking him to go preach to. So much so that in the discipline that God sent, he was sleeping. It didn't faze him. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, and my dad, when I screwed up, my dad said, hey, come here a second. We're gonna change this. We're gonna change this attitude. And I would get a SWAT and I would learn, okay, I can't do that because my dad's gonna be upset about it. I can't do this because he's gonna be upset about it. That's all the correction that I needed. I needed to know one time what not to do. Jonah slept through it. It's almost as if he was saying, well, that didn't hurt. Anybody as a kid, yeah, Ash is already raising her hand. When she would get disciplined as a kid, that didn't hurt. What'd that do to your parents? Burn them up. And fire them up when you're saying, oh, that didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. Essentially, that's what Jonah's saying. God, this discipline, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm content with what you're asking me to do. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with having the attitude. I don't want to go and do the things. Therefore, I'm not going to. And he is essentially saying to God, didn't hurt. So his circumstances here are now, not only is he in danger, but the people that he is with and that he is with are in danger as well. He said they all cried out to their gods. Obviously, they didn't answer because they didn't exist. In verses 7 through 15, they're talking about whose fault is this? Why is this happening? You see, when you have a bad attitude, it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody, the people around you. If I went into work, I have gone into work and I've had a bad attitude about something. Guess what? My guys pick up on it. They say, hey, what's going on? And I say, I don't want to talk about it. Well, eventually they'll get it out of me. But they're like, hey, don't ruin our day too. Don't be ruining our day. You're fine with ruining yours, but don't be ruining ours. But that's not how attitudes work. They're infectious. They stick. They kind of transfer to people. Now, because Jonah had a bad attitude, the sailors going to Tarshish also had to deal with it. They were dealing with God's discipline because of his bad attitude. But there was great news in that. In verse 16, so they realized that Jonah was the problem. And Jonah said, the only way to get this to stop is to throw me overboard. So 15 says, so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So when they threw Jonah into the water, everything stopped. Not only that, Jonah's bad attitude got him sent overboard, that he missed out on what God did with these people. It said, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. They changed. They said, this is the one true God. Jonah missed it because of his attitude. He was overboard. When we have a bad attitude towards God, we miss so much. I don't know. Obviously, we took those lights down. I noticed it last week, but there's people that come in here week after week and don't even notice it because they're mad at God for something. They sit here with their arms crossed. When Carl said that his brother accepted Christ, some of you guys missed it because you have an attitude towards what God is asking you to do, and you say you don't want to do it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to do it. You're the wrong. He got the wrong guy. That's fantastic. Terribly sorry for your loss, but man. What? Amen. Great news. People miss it, though. They miss it because they would rather sit with their arms crossed saying no to God their entire life. And they miss out on the blessings that he has. And Jonah missed it. But again, as he's still has his attitude, as he's fighting for his life in that. See, God has another attitude adjustment in mind. And this time it is by means of a great fish. In verse 17 said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. God realized, okay, this first storm, this first round of discipline, it didn't work. What's going to work? Those of you who have kids, we don't have kids yet. I'm sure that a means of discipline for one kid doesn't work for the other one. Or, if you ground them or spank them or whatever, it doesn't work. You got to figure out what works. And it's funny when we're disobeying God and we have an attitude towards him. He finds circumstances to find us to fix the attitude that we have towards him. And guess what? They always work. At least for a time. So Jonah, this one got his attention. This one got Jonah's attention. In chapter 2, all the way through, he's sitting 3 days, 3 nights in a fish's belly, crying out to God to save him, crying out, asking for forgiveness, telling him that he knows that he messed up. And in verse 9 of chapter 2, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. See, when you get in this discipline from God, remember, this is a man of God. This is a prophet picked, chosen by God. He understands who God is. But he still has this terrible attitude towards him. But it took Jonah 3 days and 3 nights in this fish's belly for him to finally come to his senses. Now, some of us have gotten so used to being in the fish's belly that we're hanging up pictures. We're ordering furniture. We're saying, hey, I got a nice bedroom over here. We make the discipline our home, and we get so used to it, so used to God saying, hey, change this, fix this, fix this, it doesn't even faze us anymore. Like the first storm in the story of Jonah. We get used to, we get comfortable with discipline. And we don't even worry about it anymore. And guess what? God says, I'll use somebody else. He says, I'll use somebody else. Luckily, Jonah got it figured out. Jonah understood that God is the one. Salvation is of the Lord. So there was a little bit of an attitude adjustment in that. And in verse 10 of chapter 2, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now, in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. No different than the first time God told Jonah to do it. It's the exact same thing that he asked him to do. Except this time Jonah had a little bit healthier of a relationship with God. He understood what God was capable of. He understood who God was. His attitude changed for a bit. So he said in verse 3, so Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8-word sermon is what he preached to these people. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, it doesn't say that his attitude was better. It doesn't say that he was all hunky-dory. But guess what? He was willing to do it. But 8 words, that's 9. 8 words is all he said. So I can imagine that there was still a little bit of arm crossing and kicking rocks on the way to go there. Jeez, I can't believe God makes me want to do mumbling under his breath. I don't think God wants to completely pick somebody else. You guys ever been there? Yeah? Yeah. Upset still with what God is asking him to do, not looking at it as a privilege, not looking at it as you're the one that God gets to use. You're the one that God is picking. You're the one that God is asking to do whatever he's calling you to do. Jonah still resented it. Couldn't stand it. Didn't want to be there for it. And what happened when he preached that message? What happened when the Ninevites heard those 8 words? What happened to that city? Let's find out. Chapter 3, verse 5 said, so the people of Nineveh believed in God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor flock, beast, herd, nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And then guess what happened in verse 10? Then God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Amen, right? Jonah ought to be exceedingly happy. He ought to be like, this is the God I serve. This is awesome. You guys don't, the Sodom and Gomorrah is not going to happen. You're not going to be destroyed. God has spared you. He told me that your brother got saved. Fantastic. We know where he's at now. What a blessing that is. We should be excited about that, right? Jonah should be happy that literally the biggest revival in human history happened before his eyes. He should be excited, happy, out of his skin that God did that for those people. But he wasn't. wasn't. He was more upset. And the reason for his the reason for his attitude, the real reason why he acted like that from the beginning comes out in chapter 4. And it says in verse 1, "It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" You see, this discipline that Jonah had went through in this fish's belly only lasted for a short time. The real reason that Jonah was upset was because he was scared that God was going to do exactly what God did. He was scared that one of the largest enemies of Israel was going to repent. And now instead of Israel being here and the people of Israel being here and Nineveh being here, they were here. God looked at them the same way he looked at Israel. He said, "These are people too. I love all of my people. I love everybody that I created." And Jonah made him sick that God would love people that didn't look like him, that God would spare people that didn't look like him. He put on the front in the beginning that he was scared to go there because they were vile people. And though they were, God can still change, and God did change their heart. And Jonah had an attitude. He said, "It was better for me to die than to live with these people." What an attitude to have towards a God who has spared his life 2 different times, 3, as we read on. What is going through his head? What is going through... I have never met anybody that said, "Wow, look what God is doing for this person. Wow, look what God is doing for them. I hate them. I would rather die than see them blessed by God. I would rather carry this bad attitude to the grave than see these people blessed by God the Father." Are you kidding me? It blows my mind that Jonah acted like this. Blows my mind that after all God had done for him in the previous chapter, spared his life, given him everything he needed, Jonah still has an attitude and still is upset that God changed these people's lives. God saved the whole city, whole empire, 120,000 people. All turned from their wicked ways. God heard them, as said in chapter 3, verse 10, saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. I've never heard somebody say, and I hope I never hear somebody say, "I can't believe God saved them. I can't believe God saved that person." Do you know what they did? Do you know who they were? Do you know what they've done? I don't care. God can save anybody. God can save everybody. Even the people that you and I don't have time for. Even the people that you and I don't care about. Even the people that you and I don't want to exist. God says his love is for everybody. And if we have an attitude about that, we need to change that. We need to change that. In verses 4 through 8, Jonah leaves the city to sit down and pout about what God did for these people. Still upset that things didn't go the way he thought they should go, that this enemy of Israel should have been wiped off the face of the earth and didn't go according to his plan. So he went out to sit and pout, and God provides shelter for him. And God, in verse 6, it says, "And God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery." Even in the fit that he is throwing, even in the tantrum that he is bringing before God, God still cares about him enough to shade his head. He says, "I'm going to take care of you." Yeah, you're throwing a fit right now. Yeah, you're not doing what I'm asking. Or he did what he asked him to do. Yeah, you're not being the person of God that I've asked you to be. But guess what? As much as I love Nineveh, I still love you. And he provides him with shelter. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Verse 7 says, "But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and so it damaged the plant and was withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wished death for himself and said, 'It is better for me to die than it is to live.'" Ironic, isn't it? How Jonah wanted these people to perish, wanted the whole city to be destroyed. Yet God is taking care of him. And then when he gets the little bit of pleasure, the little bit of comfort taken away from him, he says, "Oh, it's better for me to die than it is for me to live." He experiences God's grace and God's mercy throughout this trip that he's on. And he still has the nerve to tell God, "It's better for me to die than to live." But I want to finish up with this in verses 9 and following. "Then God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?'" Funny how God asks us questions to make us really think about why we're doing things the way we do. You look at Cain and Abel. "Where is your brother?" He knew. It makes us think about why we're doing things the way we're doing, the way we choose to do them. God has a really good way of capturing us and making us think about why we're doing things the way that we're doing them, such as this question: "Is it right for you to be angry about a plant?" And Jonah, being who he is, he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." What is the matter with this guy? Seriously. That's the third time he wished he was dead. Doesn't make any sense. But this is what happens when you continue to have a negative attitude towards God. When he doesn't do exactly what you want him to do. You know, I think as I look around, maybe some of us aren't that far off from Jonah. Maybe we're a little closer than we think to the attitude that we have towards God. But the Lord said, here's the kicker: "You have pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up at night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and as much livestock?" Bad attitude towards God can mix up our priorities. A bad attitude towards God can allow us to fixate on things that don't really matter and forget about the things that God wants us to focus on. Jonah, he was upset about a plant. One plant that came up in the night. God sent a worm, destroyed it. He was more concerned, don't miss this, he was more concerned with a plant than he was the souls of 120,000 people. He was more concerned with a thing that he had no control over, that he had no say in. He was more concerned with that than he was a person. He was more concerned with a plant that God had given to him than he was the people inside the walls of Nineveh. Jimmy shared a Pew report on Sunday about Christians believing in heaven and hell, and there was an X amount of percentage. I remember when I was in college, I took a class, and it was religion and society. It was a secular class. They did the best they could. But there was a thing, another report that somebody did, and I don't remember exactly what the stats were. It was a long time ago, but they said, you know, that slipped my mind. They said, would you rather have your pet in your life or a person? Do you like your pet more than you like people? And like, it was over 70% of people that said they would rather have an animal in their life over a person. But they would rather spend time with an animal than a person, because an animal is unconditional love. You get it, you know, you get whatever you can from animal. They're great. They said they would rather save, that's what it was, they would rather save their animal than save a stranger. Over 70% of them said they would rather save their pet than they would save a person. Jonah would rather have a plant. He was more worried about a plant than he was a person. When we have a bad attitude, our priorities get mixed up. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more critical. There's nothing better and more meaningful to God than the soul of a person. Nothing. Not a plant, not an animal, not a thing, not a career. Nothing is more important to God than the soul of a person. Jonah had a terrible attitude. Don't know. It could be me being naive, but I don't know how Jonah died. I don't know that what happened to him after this, but I can't imagine he was happy for the rest of his life. If he wasn't happy during this time, I doubt that he figured it out before death. But such was the life of Jonah. See, God's mercy is big enough for everybody. God's love is deep enough for everybody. So the question tonight is, do you have the heart of God, or do you have the attitude of Jonah? The question you have to answer. So as we stand,